Now that we're all, getting ourselves worked up and stuff, another thing that people were really, really upset about when it comes to WrestleMania was Randy Orton's mystery opponent, Randy Orton versus Joe Hendry. And another guy that got a really nice crowd reaction from the people in Las Vegas. And it was a quick match. It was a quick 3-minute match. Joe Hendry is the TNA champion. And no one thought it was going to be him. I mean, maybe there might have been a few rumors going around here and there, but people were saying, oh, it's going to be Rusev. Oh, it's going to be Aleister Black. But no, it was Joe Hendry. Joe Hendry, he's been, on NXT. I was really shocked about this, guys, but what was your reaction first when you guys saw that Joe Hendry showed up to face Randy Orton? Toxic, go ahead. Let's start with you.
Not expecting this shit. Excuse my language. I know we're supposed to be using TikTok language. But not expecting it whatsoever. If you were to ask, if you were to tell me before I even knew it that Joe Hendry was gonna face Randy Orton at WrestleMania, I would think you're fucking crazy. Also, I hadn't thought because Randy pinned the TNA world champion Joe Hendry, wouldn't that basically mean that he's the number one contender?
Number one contender for what, Toxic?
For Joe's title.
Randy?
Yeah. Because he pinned the champion.
Right.
And if we're going off of logic of what Solo did at Money in the Bank and pinned Cody and got a title shot at SummerSlam, then that would basically, you get when I'm.
Yeah, I don't see Randy Orton doing that, but I see what you're saying. I definitely see what you're saying. Besides you not like expecting this, what did you think about the match? And the way that it went, because it was a really short match, and people had a lot of bad things to say about this match also, but did you think the way that Randy beat Joe Hendry was kind of like shitting on Joe Hendry, or what did you think about that?
No, I think it was perfect for Joe. This entire match was not only surprising for a lot of people, it was funny, it was amazing, and it was everything good that you can say about it. I love this match. I love
Yeah.
this match.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really look at it that way either for me personally. I mean, the last time we saw Joe Hendry in the main roster in WWE was when he was playing Rusev's lawyer, if I'm not mistaken, which was back in 2015. What, Mr. Blunt?
The Royal Rumble.
Yeah, both Rumbles the last 2 years.
Okay. So, going back
Last
all the way to
two.
2015, he gets a Royal Rumble appearance, and then he shows up to face Randy Orton at WrestleMania. I mean, how could people be mad at that? How can people be like, I don't know. Oh, like, what do they want? Did they expect Joe Hendry to beat Randy Orton? No, I don't fucking think so. And but yeah, let's go with you, Tommy. Let's go with you, Tommy. Thoughts on this match with Joe Hendry being the mystery opponent for Randy Orton, and how are you feeling about that?
Nobody was expecting it, and I absolutely love that. And for the people saying Aleister Black, Aleister Black, Aleister Black, I could tell you right off the bat that it wasn't going to be Aleister Black because the date on the most recent preview for him says Friday. This Friday is when Aleister Black's going to come back. The date that was shown is this Friday. But I absolutely love it because of the fact that, like I said, he has shown up the last two Royal Rumbles and gotten eliminated from both for obvious reasons. But still, I absolutely love this match. It was a super fun match. We had a feeling it was going to be somebody. Nobody was expecting saying his name, and he appears.
Mm-hmm.
And I have seen a couple videos of people going, oh, it's Joe Hendry, it's Joe Hendry, it's Joe Hendry, and then his theme hits.
Yeah.
Which I found absolutely hilarious. Looks like we know who in the arena said his name.
I absolutely enjoyed this match. Seeing Joe Hendry get a WrestleMania moment, we were all hoping he would have a WWE appearance at some point. I thought it would have been really nice for him to at least have an appearance with LA Knight, two former TNA competitors. That would have been awesome. But what they did with him and Randy was fine. For the people bitching and complaining about it, there was nothing serious about this, okay? This was just to celebrate Randy having his 20th appearance at WrestleMania. It is to celebrate the career of Randy Orton. There was nothing special that was supposed to happen. It wasn't supposed to be a five-star classic. I get that you are frustrated that he is the TNA World Champion and he basically got squashed. But it was something fun. And they had fun at the end of the day. You know what I mean? And the turn, the fucking turn into the RKO was cinema, bro. It was absolutely cinema. And of course, what Toxic's doing right now, the spin, and then the Randy Orton thing. That was absolutely brilliant. There was nothing serious about this that was supposed to be like, this is supposed to be a five-star match. You know what I mean? And it's not going to destroy Joe Hendry, okay? I'm pretty sure Joe Hendry was fine with taking it and taking the RKO and doing what he had to do. He would be fine with it, okay? Like, it's to celebrate Randy Orton, for fuck's sake. Like, there's no deeper meaning to it, okay? So, fuck off with all the haters.
Yeah. And I don't know if it's like, because nowadays in modern wrestling, I feel like we're used to seeing a certain type of match where it's always 50-50 no matter what, right? Even like when the guys and the girls have like mixed matches, even they have really competitive matches, right? So I think people are just like trained to see everyone get their shit in, everyone, you know, is going move after move with no matter who it is. It could be that, or it could also be, and I completely lost my train of thought. But I mean, Mr. Blue, I'm gonna get to you in a bit, but if they tell you, it doesn't matter who it is, hey, you're going to face Randy Orton at WrestleMania, you think they're going to be like, okay, well, who's going to go over? Or how is this going to go? Like, no, I'm pretty sure Joe Hendry was like, yeah, let's fucking do it. I'll do anything. You want me to lose to Randy Orton in an RKO in less than 3 minutes? Fuck yeah, I'm down. What the fuck?
One of my favorite moments was the tease at the end, where he goes around and just points at him every which way. Joe almost makes it out, and then he just turns him around and gives him one final RKO. I absolutely love that moment.
Yeah, and then it's not, this didn't make Joe Hendry look bad at all. Joe Hendry showed up on NXT earlier tonight. I'm pretty sure he still got a great crowd reaction. I'm pretty sure he got a way bigger pop than ever before. Holy shit. He was just at WrestleMania, and now he's here on NXT. What the fuck? You know, like, this did not hurt Joe Hendry at all whatsoever. Getting beaten by Randy Orton in under 3 minutes, if anything, is going to do him a whole lot of favors. It didn't make him look bad. It didn't hurt him. It didn't, like, people are just so fucking stupid. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mr. Blood.
I agree and disagree with you. I thought it was a very fun match because obviously Joe Hendry is fun, and Randy at this stage of his career is a fucking riot half the time. I think it's good for spotlighting Hendry. I just think it's a bad move to. I don't think it looks good to TNA when you go, hey, we want to have a working relationship so we can help your company build up and be strong, and we can be strong because we'll mix our talent pools. And then we go, give us your world champion so he can eat a pin in less than 3 minutes to one of the guys in our company that isn't even currently a champion. And we're going to have you lose in a way that makes you look comical, goofy, and not at all serious as our world champion. So I don't think it makes Joe look bad because Joe's character is goofy, fun, and you know, endearing. I think it makes the title look bad. Because if you were going to have anybody show up and wrestle Randy from TNA, fine. It could be anybody. You could have fucking stuck Jeff Hardy out there. That would have been an insane pop. But I don't think having your world champion go out there and eat a pin the way he ate that pin in 3 minutes was a good look for the TNA World Championship. I think that it should have been a bit more of a competitive match, like fucking maybe 10, 12 minutes. And Joe puts up a really good fight. End of the day, it's Randy Orton. You're not on his level, but you are still on the level to have taken him to his limit. I think it should have been a match that took Randy to his limit for 10 minutes. Because here's the thing I think. Before Kevin got injured, there was going to be a certain allotted amount of time for Randy. So for that match. So whatever allotted time you were going to give to Kevin and Randy, why couldn't you give to Joe Hendry and Randy? Why only give him 3 minutes if you were going to give Randy and Kevin probably at least 15? I feel like it just would have served the TNA World Championship better, and Joe Hendry's ability to a WWE audience on a main roster show like WrestleMania even better if you would let him go a full like 12 to 15 minutes with Randy on the Mania card when you know you were going to give Kevin and him upwards of 15 to 20. And even if Joe still loses, fine. But he loses going out on his shield in a knockdown, drag-out banger with Randy would have been awesome. Because they've had Joe on NXT, and they had Joe go on NXT for like 12, 15, 16 minutes just a year ago. So why on earth can't he do the same thing with Randy when he's the world champion of your partner company's freaking brand? That's all I'm saying. It was still a fun match, but... He could have gone longer when you know that you were going to give Randy and Kevin longer anyway. So why 3 minutes? That's all I'm saying.
I don't know, man. I mean, this just reminds me when Randy Orton faced Javon Evans recently on NXT. Well, not recently, but like last time Randy Orton was on NXT. They did have a competitive match, Javon Evans and Randy Orton. Javon Evans took Randy Orton. You know, the match went a little way longer. And, but Javon Evans, he's a WWE guy. He's potentially going to be in the main roster at one point. But here goes.
They're going to present their own guys better. And that goes to what
And what's wrong with that?
Well, because if we're a partnership, we're supposed to lift each other up equally, or at least somewhat equally, not take your world champion and make him fodder in 3 minutes when we've had guys like James Ellsworth go long with Dean Ambrose and AJ Styles.
This is how I look at it. This is how I look at it. And it's not the same, and people are going to talk shit about me or whatever, because I know it's not the same comparison, but this just reminds me, since we're talking about partnerships, me personally, when I go over to my homies with the Heel Shit podcast on Tuesday, they have a huge fucking show. Like, they get millions of downloads. Like, I want to be as big as them one day. I want us, this show, to be as big as them. I'm lucky enough to be on their show every Tuesday. They're helping me out. That's the partnership that I have with them. But when I go to their show, I don't take over their show, or I don't try to be, you know, show my ass out there and be like, oh, yeah, I'm so great. No, that's, I respect their show, and I, you know. There's limits. There's limits to this.
But is that podcast having you on as a guest and going, hey, Snud, you talk when we tell you to talk, and you only get 30 seconds to talk when we tell you to talk?
No, but if they did, I would say, yeah, okay.
Okay, but I'm cool with that. You'll be cool with it, right? But everybody else watching is going to go, well, damn, man, I was really wanted to hear Snud talk a little longer. I really like what he has to say. Why are they shutting him up as quick as possible? You know what I'm saying? Like,
hey, if you want to see more of me, if you want to hear more of me, come check me out on my show.
And that's great. But you know what? Ollie Davis said it the best today on one of his WrestleMania reviews on WrestleTalk today. WrestleTalk, large following, very large vocal wrestling journalism company. He said, what self-respecting company would let their world champion go out there to job out to another company's non-world champion?
It's Randy fucking Orton. Jesus Christ.
It's Randy Orton, yes. But Joe is younger, hungrier, and currently a world champion in a promotion. Randy is not any of those things. So it's just like, dude, you could have sent anybody else out there. You didn't have to feed the world champion to the guy that was going to beat him in 3 minutes. It makes your company look weak. It makes your roster look weak because he represents your roster. That's the problem. It was a fun match. Great for Joe. I think he deserved to go longer before getting pinned. If he gets pinned, totally fine. Randy should have won the whole time. But Joe deserved to go longer. That's all I'm saying. You could have given him 12 minutes. You were going to give Kevin and Randy that amount of time anyway. So why not just keep the time, even if you're switching out the opponent?
I think TNA and Joe Hendry both are very, very lucky to even get those 3 minutes, because those 3 minutes, I think, helped them a whole lot.
I think you're right in that aspect. I'm just saying, if you're my partner and I'm trying to build you up, I'm going to make sure that I shine a spotlight on you too, a little bit more than I did. That's all I'm saying.
Shine the spotlight, WrestleMania versus Randy fucking Orton. What? There, I mean, that's a spotlight. Jesus Christ, is it not?
But
They could have not fucking put anyone from TNA. Would that have been better?
That's very, very true. But if I'm trying to have a working relationship with you, and I want you to know that I take your company just as seriously because I look at you as a viable partner that I respect, I'm not going to have your guy essentially glorified job out to one of my guys. I'm going to make it competitive so we both look good equally. That's what I'm saying.
All right. The next match that we're going to go over here for our WrestleMania review, let's go to the triple threat match with Seth Rollins, CM Punk, and Roman Reigns, because, I mean, we knew that that was going to be one of the options, which was what we saw. Paul Heyman joining forces with Seth Rollins, and Seth Rollins winning the thing. That was one of the options that we discussed, that we went over, but I didn't think it was actually going to happen. I was hoping for CM Punk to win it because it was his first WrestleMania. I was hoping Roman Reigns was going to win it because Paul Heyman is going to turn on CM Punk. But Paul Heyman ended up turning on both Roman and CM Punk and sided with Seth Rollins, giving Seth Rollins the win at the main event of WrestleMania Night 1. I was still really shocked, even though I know I should not have been. I know I should have seen this coming, but goddamn, this was fucking crazy, you guys. Tommy, let's go with you first this time, man. What were your thoughts on this main event?
Cinema. Full-blown cinema. Especially with the way it happened. Like, we all knew that that was a possibility, that Heyman could betray both of them and side with Seth. That was one of the things that, yes, Blood, you fucking called it before all of us, but that was one of the things that the majority of us really said during our predictions with it. It is that Paul would side with Seth, since Seth was literally the only non-Heyman guy there. It was just Seth. He was the only one that hadn't been a Paul Heyman guy. But the way it happened was full-blown cinema. Him slowly walking over to the timekeeper area slowly grabbing the chair, pushing it in, then betraying Punk first, handing Roman the chair. Seth starts slowly standing up, like, look! There he is, my tribal chief! The shield! There it is! It is yours, my tribal chief! And then the shocker happens. Where not one low blow happens, like it did with Punk, but two. Two! With Roman. Holy shit. You know I'm shocked when I throw my title to the side. As soon as that second low blow happened, I was just sitting there on the couch and I just tossed my title to the side because I was that shocked. It was cinema. The way it happened, it was gorgeous. I love this match through and through, beginning to end. I'm pretty sure we can all agree, match of the fucking weekend. Day easy. And night.
Easy.
Yeah, absolutely. Toxic, you're up, Toxic.
Once again, I'm going to reiterate what Thomas said. Match of the fucking weekend. Yeah, it was full of not only straight up violence towards each other, because it's obvious why. Anyways, but it was filled with story. The match wasn't just good because, oh, they got Punk was the first person to get put through the reinforced announce table. Oh, and Seth Rollins was the second. No, it was, there was all story. It was all story in that match. I mean, without CM Punk basically creating the Shield, or Paul Heyman, this match wouldn't exist. It wouldn't exist. Seth wouldn't have hit Roman in the bag and joined the Authority. It would have never existed. So let's just thank CM Punk that this match even exists. But fuck CM Punk at the same time, because he lost. I'm kidding. I wasn't gonna. You know what I meant. All right, I'm out of here.
Right on, Blood. Let's go with you, Blood. What'd you think?
Man, you know, wow. It, you know, after when you take in the whole weekend, right, start to finish, you cannot help but sit there and go, this fucking match should have main evented. Like night two. It after we got what we got, with the only way, when I look back now, the only reason Cody and John should have main evented night two was if The Rock was involved and it was, you know, another overbooked finish like last year, but in the cool, crazy, fun, what's going to happen next way. That's the only thing. When you look back at the whole match itself, from start to finish of the match of Cody and John, you can't help but feel like, man, this really feels like a night one main event when you look back at it. And it's especially the way it all played out. It's like, dude, there was like the energy level of the crowd alone was bigger for the main event night one. And it's hard to sit there when you look at it now in hindsight and go, nah, Cody John made sense for night two's main event. Nah, bro. I honestly, Jay Gunther should have main evented night one. And as unfair as this is going to sound, Cody John could have gone second to last on night two. Really could have. And the triple threat could have main evented, because this was the most story going into it. We're talking 13 years of story from start to freaking finish. Like every nook, every cranny, every twist, every turn, every betrayal, every stab in the back, you know, everything. Because people forget that Punk was a babyface when the Shield got put together, quote unquote, behind his back by Paul Heyman in the original story. People forget Punk was the babyface at the time when Heyman formed the Shield and hired them to be to protect CM Punk behind CM Punk's back. We only find out later that no, CM Punk actually knew the whole time and only pretended to not be aware of it. And then he turned heel slowly in the process. So, you know, it's funny because start to finish, this match was just so good. I mean, everything from every move mattered, man. Every move, every reversal fed into something else that happened. Every finisher, every freaking, I mean, the sequence with the GTS hits him into the ropes, freaking out of nowhere, speared. Out of the spear comes a stomp. They all go down out of exhaustion. Like, every finish made sense. Paul Heyman's perfect selling. Because we all knew this was going to be match of the weekend. We all said that in our predictions, that we felt like this had to be the match of the weekend. We kind of felt it, right? Because it had the most story going in, and we all said that. And I said forever ago, it's already been established, even though at this point I'm establishing it for the joke and at Snug's expense, that I called this whole thing, the whole finish, I called it literally a month ago. But at the same time, I say that looking at it now going, no matter how much you call it, it doesn't do it justice until you actually see it happening in front of you and you see the emotion happening in front of you and the selling and the storytelling and you see the pain on Roman's face, the betrayal on his face, the betrayal on Punk's face, and you hear Heyman screaming at Punk, I didn't want to do this. You made me do this. I didn't betray you. You betrayed me by putting me in the middle. You made me choose. You're supposed to be my best friend. Like, when he screams that, I'm like, he's right, though. Punk and Roman put him in the middle. They forced him to choose, right? And Seth didn't. And that's the thing. You know, aside from the funniest part where Paul Heyman freaking low blows Roman. I mean, that man treated Roman's nuts like a peppercorn grinder. He went up and just the fist wiggle and the grinding back and forth and just let it seep in. And I'm just like, dude, this is not freaking London. This is not Bangers and Mash. He's had enough. I know he's already got 5 kids, but what if he wanted one more? Let him go. And then just the look on Paul's face where he's like, yeah, I'm in there. I'm in that shit. Yeah. And Roman's just like, please stop. But I thought the best angle, the best camera angle of the entire match, what really, really, because I filmed my live reaction. And I was like, okay, well, Seth has his back turned. Does Seth know what's going on? And then I freaked the fuck out on my live reaction when you see the camera pan down and you see Seth's hand out for the chair. And that in that moment, I screamed, Seth turned heel. It's official. He's turned heel. It was perfect. It set everything up in this perfect way. Perfect match. What a way that you could have sent the fans home had this been the main event of night two. It should have been the main event because it was so, it had every angle was better. There's not a single part of John versus Cody that outshines this triple threat. Not a single moment outshines this triple threat. This was the match to end on. If WrestleMania was still the old classic Sunday night only, I'd have petitioned the hell out of this to go on last.
Yeah, absolutely, man. It was one hell of a fucking match for sure, dude. One of my favorites of the night, most definitely, man. I think this is probably the match that I want to go back and watch on TV because I was there in person, but I was way up there. So, you know, I was doing my best to see what was happening and I was still able to see pretty good, but I want to see what it actually looks like on TV just to see.
You're seeing it on the Tron, right? Hovering above the arena.
Yeah, I was watching it and then on the Tron and watching it, you know, but like it's not the same because you don't get the commentary, you know, you don't hear what they're saying to each other. Yeah.
I highly recommend you go back and watch it on TV to see what we all experienced. Cause I think because the commentary really puts that match to a whole nother gear at times. Like, the commentary in that match was insanely good.
Yeah, that always makes things better, you know. But all right, so who do we got next? BT?
Yep. Bruh, this was without a doubt the match of the weekend. Cinema, absolutely incredible. And the thing that really got me the most, that got me emotional a bit, was I finally got to hear the song "This Fire Burns" while CM Punk was doing his Titantron promo package before his entrance. I love that song so much. I listened to it repeatedly. I love that song, and I almost cried. I was screaming, please let me hear that song one more time. And I got to hear it for that split second, and I was singing word for word that song, bro, because I love that song so much. And we got to hear that before we got Drew McIntyre's Broken Dreams song to come back. So, but overall, the feelings going into this match, because Roman is without his wise man. Seth Rollins is basically the manipulator, the Joker in this whole thing, playing mind games with both superstars. But CM Punk is with his best friend, and in the main event of WrestleMania, which was the one thing that he always wanted before he ended his wrestling career. And it was just perfect. The storytelling, the aggression. Seth and Roman teased that they were going to team up to put Punk through the table, and then Roman uppercutted the shit out of Seth just to put Seth and Punk through both announce tables. I thought it was awesome. And then the low blow from Paul Heyman onto Punk and his crying and his emotion. I said from day one on this podcast that Paul Heyman is one of the greatest actors when it comes to general managers. And this just fully emphasizes it more. And his emotion selling. And then he says, I acknowledge you, my tribal chief. And then Roman hits Punk with the chair. And then, as Tommy said, when he looks to Seth, look, the Shield. This is your moment, my tribal chief. Roman is legit standing there with that steel chair saying, this is for all of those moments that you did to me. All of those paybacks that I have been wanting. Like, WrestleMania 40 wasn't enough. I need to hit you with this and then pin you, because I have never beaten you in my entire career. And then Paul Heyman low blows the shit out of him. And he stayed there for quite some time. I'm like, brother, how desperate have you wanted this, bro? Like, the twitching and the grimacing look, like, motherfucker, you are proud of yourself. Jesus. And then Pat McAfee, Paul Heyman, you son of a bitch! I loved every single second of it. And then, of course, Seth just standing there doing the Roman Reigns hand signature. Just give me the chair. And then Paul Heyman just like, of course. And then just sits in the corner like, yep, look at you son of a bitches now. It was amazing. And Seth fully deserved to win it. And after what we got on Monday Night Raw not that long ago, it was perfect. This match, I never got the chance to witness Cody Rhodes winning the title live last year. This is my first WrestleMania I got to witness live since WrestleMania 37. And weird enough, I have very fond memory of WrestleMania 37. The main things I remember from it is the two main events. But this WrestleMania, I'm going to remember forever. because of that main event, and I was so happy that I got to witness it live. Like, bro, oh my god. This main event was just perfect. 10 out of 10. Match of the fucking weekend. Cinema. Absolutely perfect.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say it probably was the best match of the night.
I mean, one of the things I wanted to mention is the fact that that wasn't the only callback to the Shield. Seth was trying to get Roman to do that Shield powerbomb again onto CM Punk through the table.
Yeah, that's right.
It looked like Roman was going to do it, but then the look on his eyes said, fuck no. You're going through it instead.
By the way, this is two manias in a row where Roman needing to get a chair shot vindication cost him the match. Two manias in a row.
Yeah, because it cost him the title last year.
Yeah, and then tonight he took his eyes off of Paul Heyman, and Paul Heyman got him, made him pay for it. Every time he wants to get payback on Seth, every single time it costs him. It costs him when they versed each other at that Rumble a couple years ago, where he got DQ'd from going to town. Pardon me. It cost him when he was going to town on Seth, and Seth beat him by disqualification. It cost him here because he just had to do it. All he had to do was just tell Paul to get out of the way. He could have speared Seth or whatever, pinned him, or thrown him out of the ring, pinned Punk. Nope, cost him last year because he got the vindication, but immediately got into a crossroads trinity after that. It's like, Roman, at some point, you have got to let it go if you are going to beat Seth. You have to let it go if you're going to beat Seth. Because he has never beaten him one-on-one in their entire careers together. If you are ever going to get your real vindication, because let's not forget, the entirety of their relationship, no matter what, if Roman was the heel or not, Seth was always the bad guy in their relationship. He is the bad guy in their relationship. And people forget that just because he's a face, that he isn't the bad guy between the two of them, because it was his fault. He did it. And then he's rubbed it in Roman's face ever since. Roman needs vindication, but he has got to let it go if he's ever gonna beat this man. And I hope that's where the story that just popped off starting Monday is heading, with Roman and CM Punk teaming together against this new building alliance. But Roman's never gonna win if he doesn't stop letting Seth live rent-free in his head.
Well, yeah, I mean, we have so much to look forward to when it comes to this whole thing with Paul Heyman, Seth Rollins, especially after what we saw at Monday Night Raw. They added Bron Breakker, so it's an exciting time, you guys. But the final match that we're going to go over here tonight is the Fatal 4-Way. Speaking of Bron Breakker, Bron Breakker lost the Intercontinental title at WrestleMania to Dominic Mysterio. I did not expect Dominic Mysterio to win singles gold in the main roster anytime soon, but he did. Dominic Mysterio is the new Intercontinental Champion, and man, I don't know how I feel about this, man. I'm glad, I'm happy. I'm a huge fan of Dom, but I don't know if it was the right time. I don't know if it was the right time.
I think you're the only one of us who said Finn should win. I think all of us said it should be Dom.
Yeah, because I just don't feel like Dom is ready. Dom has been losing to everyone left and right, and now he goes from, you know, being the job guy. I'm sorry, I hate using that word, but he is.
But that's what I tried to make to you last week when we were debating it. I said the whole point of having him win it is that it shouldn't be him. He stole the victory. So that's what's going to stick in Finn's craw. It should have been Finn.
So now Dominic Mysterio went from that to being Intercontinental Champion, and he got a huge crowd reaction. The people were really happy about this. But now what, you guys? Now what? But let's talk about the match first. Let's go first with you, Blood, with this one. How do you feel about Dominic Mysterio being champion, and do you think this was the right move?
I think it was the absolute right move. First off, the match was incredible. I mean, there's not a single person in that match that isn't a great worker, and I don't care what anybody says about Dominic Mysterio. He plays his role perfectly every time. And Dom, if you go all the way back to when he started tagging with Ray, hell, before he started tagging with Ray, if you go back to when he still had a little extra chub on him and he was getting thrown around the ring like a rag doll by Brock Lesnar, you go from there to then tagging with his dad when he was still greener baby and turtle shit mixed together and Ray was really carrying, it's night and day. Dom has come so far, man. I mean, probably the most natural heel of this era without even having to try. Okay. He's also he's gotten so good in the ring. He's fun to watch. He's fun to watch wrestle. I love watching him wrestle. I love his laid back, don't give a shit attitude because it feels so natural to him. He legitimately does feel like a cool dude that you would want to chill with. Like this laid back, whatever, man, I don't care. It's cool. Whatever. Like he doesn't take himself too seriously. He's naturally lackadaisical in a way that makes you like him, but also hate him. Because we all know guys like that who are just too cool for school and you're like, okay, whatever. But everything about him, from his presentation to the in-ring ability to his believability as a heel, just makes him such a star, right? And the match was awesome. There's not a bad performance in there. There's not a bad wrestler that was in that match. Come on, Bron Breakker, probably one of the biggest stars of the next 10 years, guaranteed. Finn Balor, one of the greatest, most underappreciated professional wrestlers of his generation. Penta, one of the greatest, most popular acts today and one of the greatest luchadors on the planet and in history, in my opinion. And Dominic Mysterio, second generation or third generation superstar, who happens to be one of the most natural, just able-bodied wrestlers of his generation, who we never would have thought could go as far as he has. And he's just incredible. He was the right choice, mainly not only because he's paid his dues on the roster. 2 years ago, he was the guy who had wrestled more matches than anybody else in the entire company in that entire year through multiple injuries. They talked about it on the Impulsive podcast, and other wrestlers who got interviewed by Chris Van Fleet talked about just how dedicated Dom is. So right then and there, we know he takes it seriously. He cares about this shit. That therefore, he gets my respect. But two, if you're trying to talk about the dissension of the Judgment Day in a story that I think is probably the most interesting breakup they've ever had, because they've had like three by now, three or four. No, he is a third generation because Rey Mysterio, his dad, is actually Junior. A lot of people don't remember that Rey Mysterio's father was the original Rey Mysterio. But so when it comes to Dom, he makes the most sense because when you're talking about the blow up of the Judgment Day, this is the first time where the infighting, other than Damian and Finn, feels more realistic because in the Judgment Day's canon, Dom is the loser, but he's the cool loser. He's the only one that needs help to win all of his matches, right? He's the only one who can't do shit without Liv, without Carlito, without Finn, without JD. He's the fuck up, but he's only ever successful with their help. And Finn knows that, because it's been brought up in their stories before. Having Dom win is the perfect way to have Finn absolutely lose his shit. We saw on Monday that he was staring Dom down, and then he goes, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. And then all of a sudden, he's going to let it go, right? Until Carlito straight up says, hey, I mean, looks like you and I are the only ones without championships in the Judgment Day. Who would have known? But it's cool. So long as, but as soon as he said that, Finn automatically went, and he realized, oh, I can't let this go. And it's eating at him. Now it's just a ticking time bomb to when he betrays Finn, or when he betrays Dom. And now that JD's back, is he going to get JD to help him? Or are all of them going to come together to kick out Finn? Because you don't got to turn Dom babyface. You can let him keep lying, cheating, and stealing. The crowd loves him right now for it. He doesn't have to go babyface for them to keep loving him. But Finn's got to turn on him, so Finn gets the major heel heat. Just a matter of when.
Yeah, the people are 100% behind Dominic Mysterio right now, man. They love their Dom. It's going to be interesting to see, like, are they still going to boo him whenever he tries to cut a promo, or are they going to cheer him now? Because he's getting a lot of good crowd reaction now.
Well, remember, we're in the age where heels are what everybody wants. Everybody wants that cool heel. That's why I said yesterday, no one's going to boo Becky. That's the problem. We've been down this road before. The fans are tired of the white meat baby face. They want the cool heel, the anti-hero, the tweener, because they're more interesting characters than the I'm a good guy who smiles all the time, because we had that for 12 years with John Cena and no one wants anymore. And that's why the fans are turning on Cody, because they want him to go more edgy, more aggressive, and he won't do it. And that's why they're turning on him. That's why people love and cheered Seth for what he did. The cool heel. That's why people love Punk. He's not just a white meat baby face. He's edgy. He gets his hands dirty. You know,
Toxic, what do you think about this, Toxic?
That's the age we're in, man.
About the match?
Yeah, the match in general and Dominic Mysterio becoming Intercontinental Champion. Are you not paying attention, motherfucker?
I mean, I was, but Blood just went on a rant, so.
Go ahead. Oh, God damn it. Go ahead, Toxic. You go on your rant now.
Put that freaking dictionary down. All right, anyways. The match was great. It was, in my opinion, you might not agree, it was match of the night on night two. It mopped John Cena and Cody Rhodes. Mopped the tag, actually, not really the women's tag match. Well, kind of. It mopped Rhea, Bianca, and Io. It mopped literally everything on the card of night two. To Braun Breaker getting on top of one of the tables, jumping over, spearing Carlito through the table. That... Damn. I mean, but we were expecting that, but we weren't expecting how it happened. That's why I like Fatal 4-Ways and multi-man matches, because they end up being really freaking good. There was something that I was going to add, but I don't even remember it.
All right, well, we'll come back to you if you remember. Go ahead, Tommy.
Correction, Toxic. Y'all didn't see it. I called it. Yes, I'm pulling a Blood real quick.
Yeah, calm down, Blood.
Called it. I knew if there was any way to inevitably get to that point where the Judgment Day is going to end up splitting. Because it will happen. It should have happened during the original thing over at SummerSlam. Honestly, that's when it should have happened. But still, I knew if there was any way to finally break up the Judgment Day, it's going to end up being for Dom to get that Intercontinental Championship by pinning Balor. And I called it spot for spot at the end of that. When it comes to the match itself, I loved it. I truly did. No, not just because of the fact that I called the ending, but I absolutely loved the entirety of that match. I really, really did. Because it fit like Blood said, there is not a single bad wrestler in that match. There really wasn't. You're talking about one of the biggest right now luchadors in the entirety of WWE, Penta. As Liv loves to put it right now, the greatest Mysterio of all time. That's Liv's wording, not mine.
Correction, Dom calls himself that?
No, Liv has as of recently as well.
Well, still, same thing.
The point still stands. You've got Bron Breakker, who, in itself, he is a beast in every way. The man's a Steiner. He's got that Steiner DNA in him. He's built different. He truly is. He's a massive beast in that ring. And I love the callback to the Steiner math. That was fun. And then you've got Balor. The one man that, yes, it was agreed that as long as the Intercontinental Championship was in the Judgment Day, everything would be fine. But as Blood said, all that flipped as soon as Carlito brought it up. That him and Balor are the two members, the only two members with nothing, with no gold around their waist. And then he thought back to how Dom got that title. And that immediately pissed him off. When those two inevitably have a match, because they will, it's going to be a good one. For sure.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. BT, do you got any thoughts on this Fatal 4-Way? Your new Intercontinental Champion, Dirty Dominic Mysterio. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I wanted Dominic Mysterio to win even before I came onto this podcast and said that I wanted Dominic Mysterio to win. I've been calling it since I went on a TikTok Live with some of my other friends, Mad Honeybee, Raven Club, fucking Heel Mike. Shout out to those guys. Absolutely amazing friends of mine. I legit told them that I wanted Dominic Mysterio to win, and they're like, and there was one of our friends named Tyler, who is a Dominic Mysterio glazer, and because he's very toxic as one of those fans, he was like, if Tyler was here right now, he'd be kissing your ass so hard. And I'm like, motherfucker. It's the truth though. Dominic Mysterio needed to win, no matter how many times you want to make fun of Dominic Mysterio walking out there and couldn't get the lucha mask off the top of his fucking head. He needed to win that match. He needed to win that match. And it made sense. And I'm actually happy for Dominic Mysterio, somebody who I hated and could not stand in 2024, is somebody who I can back and who I really support in 2025, which is crazy. Not to say that it won't happen for Liv, because I just don't like her character, not the person. But the point still stands. Dominic, it has always been that big heel in WWE. And to see how far he's come, I know that Rey Mysterio says that he hates his son, but I know he was sitting back there proud as hell. His cheeks would have been sore from how much he was smiling. And honestly, I couldn't stop smiling either. I was so happy for him when he was on the ramp and he said, fuck this, I'm going back there, back down there to celebrate. He felt like a kid achieving his dream, and I was so happy for him. So
awesome. It's funny, I love the match overall. It's funny because they showed fan footage. The cameraman made him go back down because he was getting work from the back. The cameraman's like sitting there like, you gotta go back to the ring and celebrate. You gotta go back to the ring and celebrate. But I, you know, as happy as I am for Dom, man, I'm so upset that Ray got injured on Friday. But I'd like to imagine that because they were already in Vegas, he just went to like a local hospital to get looked at, local medical facility. And I'm hoping that he still stayed for the weekend for his son's big moment. Because there was a part of me later that literally daydreamed, like, I really hope that Dom got to walk back there and his dad is the first one in Gorilla, away from the cameras where we can't see. And they just had a really poignant father-son moment. I really, really genuinely, as just a human being, imagine and daydream and hope that happened for them. Because that's his first ever main card title win. And I know, shoot, fuck the kayfabe, that has got to be a very proud moment for Ray. And what a sweet family moment that I would imagine for Dom to get to hug his dad and like, dad, this is my first one, you know? So, I mean, I'm so happy for him, genuinely. He deserves it. He's worked his ass off for it. So I wish him the best in this run, and I'm really excited for what's coming after this.
And he has now joined the exclusive club. Not many have done this, of only a group of father-son duos who have won that Intercontinental Championship.
Yeah. I mean, you're probably right, Mr. Blood, but I mean, let's be honest. Rey Mysterio has a track record of being a terrible father, so I don't think that happened. No, I'm just kidding. Well, you guys, with that being said, that was the WrestleMania review. Sorry, we're a little bit late, but I just came back. So we're putting it out now, and we went over just the important matches, because even then we went over like, what, 4 or 5 matches, and this show is going to have to be a two-parter, but we went over the most important things that you needed to know for WrestleMania, the most important matches, storylines, the winners, the outcomes. Until next time, I'm tired of shit, y'all. Thank you, Mr. Blood. Thank you, BT. Thank you, Toxic and Tommy. No yeet. My name is Edgar. I'm the host of Snug Wrestling, and we will see you guys soon.
Four letters.
Four letters. No. Yeet.